Choices and Outcome Podcast, Episode 5.
Welcome to today's podcast episode of Choices and Outcomes. Here's another opportunity to find the inspiration that can shape your destiny. Realizing your thoughts create results in your life and those that you love that truly do matter. Brought to you by InspireEugene.com with your hosts, Brad McKinney and Scott Stewart. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to this episode of the Choices and Outcomes Podcast. I am Brad McKinney, and I have with me this morning Scott Stewart, author, speaker, and inspirationalist. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing well.
Awesome. So we are coming off of last week where we talked about professional development, professional image.
Professional self-image, yes.
So showing up in the marketplace.
What you look like, how people perceive you.
Absolutely. And how you behave. You got to behave professionally.
That's correct.
Awesome. And then we were going to talk today, because we've really talked about it in several episodes, of being confident or having self-confidence.
Right.
And we were going to head that way this morning. So I found a quote when I think of these things. I think of Stephen Pressfield. We talked about that a little bit before we started here. But the quote that I came up with today is, "The counterfeit innovator is wildly self-confident. The real one is scared to death."
Yeah, there's some truth to that, huh?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as we, in Stephen Pressfield, he wrote a book called Going Pro, and he talks about being a professional versus being an amateur, and that the difference is we're scared, but we do it anyway.
Mm. So not allowing that fear to stop you or hold you back.
Absolutely.
Just charging forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on confidence?
I'll tell you what, one of my favorite topics, and probably the reason is because I, as a kid, through school and even right out of school, I had no confidence. None. Very low self-image, low self-esteem, no confidence, didn't have any belief in myself. And so the reason I love this is because I went to work on myself in my 20s and developed confidence. And it's interesting that the people who kind of know me today that really didn't know me at 21 or 20, 19, they would think, oh, you were probably right, the popular kid in school, right? you probably were that, everybody liked you and everybody wanted to hang out with you. And I'm telling you, it was just the opposite. It really was, because I had no confidence. I think confidence, I've used this term, but I really truly believe it, wholeheartedly. Confidence is the keys to the kingdom. You have confidence in yourself. It opens so many doors, to be able to get up on a stage, and which, you know, next to dying of fire, right? Death of fire.
That is the largest fear.
It is the largest fear. Public speaking is the largest fear. And I got to tell you, I would have been right in that category, right? Mm-hmm. In my early 20s and teens, I did not want to be up in front of people at all. But it's amazing how your life changes when you start to believe in yourself. You start to have some confidence about, hey, you know what? No, I am worthy. The information I have, I bet people want to know about it. I think people want to hear what I have to say. People want to listen. Confidence just opens so many doors.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think similar when I was younger and in my early to late teens and 20s, I wasn't very confident in my abilities. But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Where do you think confidence comes from? You said you worked on yourself and you found confidence. How did you do that?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that without going, you know, down the rabbit hole, Brad, all the way to the bottom and peeling it all back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't like myself all that well. I wasn't happy with who I was. I wasn't happy with my results in life. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing a little checkup from the neck up and started listening to people that would support me, mm-hmm, and encourage me rather than those people who tore me down, made fun of me, belittled me, said, you can't do that. What makes you think you're good enough to do that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it a little bit in life, maybe a lot in life, it's who we listen to. I was listening to the wrong people.
Absolutely. I think Jim Rohn has a great quote that you are the average of the five people that you hang out with the most.
You are the average of the five people you hang out the most. Wow. There's a little look around. Who do you hang out with? And look at them and think, huh, I'm one of the five.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. You know, and to elaborate just a bit more, I had to make a choice to leave those people that were not building me up, not supporting me, not encouraging me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really tough for people because even though it wasn't healthy, it was what I knew, mm-hmm. right? It was the comfort zone. And I had to stop hanging around those folks. And yeah, they poked fun at me. You know, oh, what, you're too good to hang around with, too good to go to the bar tonight, you know, you know what I mean? And all those things. But here's the deal. That type of lifestyle, those types of people, was not doing me any good. And that was the start. That was the start of gaining confidence, was changing my influence.
That's great. I was going to go a different way with confidence in this.
Do I want to listen?
I think there's a couple of different aspects of it. I think the internal beliefs that we have, those stories that we tell ourselves based on the influences in our life, right? Mm. The people that, basically have shaped our beliefs and the experiences that we've had. But I also think confidence comes from, practice and the ability to do something really, really well. Like when we start something, and I'll just give an example. This is the third podcast that I've done. And the very first podcast that I did was terrible. It was terrible. I didn't have any listeners, thank God. And I think it's when you start something and you're not very good at it, you don't have a lot of confidence. But as time goes on, right, you build little wins, little successes.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it took me a long time to be the guy that talks into the microphone rather than the person that produces the end result. My second podcast that I did, instead of speaking and not speaking very well, that was the biggest downfall of the first one. Second one I produced, I only did the technical side of it. So I put together the audio, I put it out onto the website, and I basically delivered it to an audience. But I was never the person that talked. And it wasn't until this one when I got the confidence again in my ability to put together a quality product that I'm here now speaking on this podcast. I think it's the same in everything. If I look back at my life and I look at everything that I've done between insurance and podcasting and internet marketing and those sorts of things, in the very beginning, it was really difficult to be the new guy. And then,
right,
as time goes on and experiences happen, you gain more and more and more confidence. So I think knowing down the road that as you build your experience, confidence will come.
Yeah.
And you just have to push through that fear of just starting. Because I think that's the biggest thing about being, having a lack of confidence is I'm not going to be very good at it when I start.
You know, that's a good point. And I think under the umbrella of confidence, what you're talking about, very, very relevant for today, because in Moram, I was referring to your self-confidence, mm-hmm. and believing in your own self to be able to do, produce, or go after or achieve. I would follow right in there with, I was thinking back to my days when I turned 16, mm-hmm. right? And I was driving. Now, I'd spent some time behind the wheel prior to that, but alone, mm-hmm. out there by yourself.
Yep.
And you're like, whoa, you know? And I thought I did, but I didn't have much confidence in my ability to navigate a critical situation. Driving down the road straight's easy, right?
Yep.
Anybody can do that. But when you've got rain, it's dark, and you change the elements, you're like, oh, whoa, hey, this is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, isn't it Jim Rohn that says repetition is the mother of all skill?
I've heard the quote. I don't know who said
that. I thought it was. I thought Jim Rohn said that. But anyway, I think it's that way with most everything. When we go into a new job, a sales, if you're going into a sales position and you've never really been in one, you're probably going to suck in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Fair to say, I know I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a mess on the phone when I first got into sales. But you develop that confidence after you've done it a dozen times, 10 times, 20 times, whatever. And
in sales, it's like 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you gain confidence by doing. Everybody at some point, think about this for a second. No matter what it is, everybody has started at zero.
Yep.
At some point.
At some point.
Donald Trump started at zero at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't magically appear to be a billionaire and hold all this valuable real estate. Everybody starts at zero. And remember that we're all in the same boat. We all start at zero at something at some point in our life.
And if you take into consideration the influences that we have in our life, and if they've been negative influences, and say we have a natural low self-esteem, not necessarily confidence, but a low self-esteem about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
we might even start at a negative.
Because
you don't even have the confidence to even fathom starting.
Right. Yeah. That valid point. And I think the key in all of this, you said it in the beginning, is even if you're fearful, start.
Yeah.
You're right? Isn't that the quote?
Oh, absolutely.
The quote said that. And I think that's where I know it was for me and other people that I've coached with and talked with and mentored with. Fear has an element that likes to cripple us,
mm-hmm.
right? It likes to paralyze us. And it really is just the fear of the unknown, right? Fear, the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
Right? We've all heard that. And it is do it anyway, or at least take baby steps towards it.
Yeah.
And I think what you'll find is the fear is really not valid.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing it anyway. And that's where the confidence comes from. When you overcome your fear, when you rise up and you have enough strength, you have enough courage to go past that. It's amazing what happens internally.
I agree. I think, what got me over not wanting to be behind the microphone was I sat in my garage with my recording equipment and I just talked into the microphone and started talking about different subjects, different things. And when I felt comfortable enough that they sounded okay, I stuck them out on YouTube, not necessarily on a platform where like the local community can mm-hmm. see it, but mm-hmm. you know, where maybe I could get some people to see it and give me some feedback. And I got some feedback from some trusted advisors that I, and mentors that I have about it, and had some, you know, some critiques of it until it was like, hey, that sounds really good. You should put that out for real. And
great.
Now we've got Inspire Eugene and doing interviews, and we've got this new segment of the podcast. So I think it's going a lot better, but it took practice. It wasn't just like one day it was like, oh, I'm going to be really crappy at something. And then today I'm going to be really good because I decided to be. No, it took some fumbles behind the microphone before that entire thing changed. So you can start in private until you get good enough to bring it to whoever you want to give you feedback for.
What a great idea. You can start in private. You don't even have to go embarrass yourself.
Absolutely.
Or necessarily, maybe that takes away a little bit of the vulnerability in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is you can just practice alone where no one can hear you. And you don't have to worry about that. There is no fear at that point. And after you do that a little bit more and mm-hmm. repeat it, and you'd gain some confidence about it, then you know what you're doing, and then you can put it out there. Because you're more confident in yourself. I love that. What a great strategy.
I used to, it was funny. I looked like the crazy person driving around town having conversations. But in a previous role as a claims representative, I would have to have a lot of really difficult conversations. And you really have to be confident when you go and have a difficult conversation. And whatever it is you do, being timid isn't really going to help you out very well.
Right.
So I would drive around in my car and I would practice my conversations from one meeting to the next. And I would go through that in my mind and I would bring up scenarios on how they could respond based on the information that I presented. And then I would come up with strategies on how to deal with those, but it really helped. It was a, you know, it was me talking to myself and coming up with these crazy situations that would have never happened. But unless I would have worked myself through that or talked myself through it or had that pretend conversation, I don't think I would have been able to deliver that information as well as I could have or I did.
So there you go. Get a recorder, drive around in your car.
Absolutely.
And just talk until it becomes natural, or at least until it becomes much easier and it flows.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could do that with sales conversations. You could do that with phone sales conversations. You could do that with presentations. I mean, confidence comes in many ways. Conversations with your spouse. I mean, conversations with your kids. I mean, it's not difficult. It's just, you got to do it.
Right. Right. You know, somebody had asked me the other day, Brad, they said, do you think that personality style or personality temperament plays a role in confidence? And I thought that was a really valid question, because obviously this was coming from, and I'm not picking on them, but an introvert, you know, very, very much detail oriented, did not like speaking in front of people, didn't like attention drawn to them. So they were much more of a private person. And they, you know, their thing was, they said, well, Scott, it's not that I don't like it. It's that I just don't feel like I have any power to do so. I don't feel like anybody would want to hear what I have. And we got to talking about that. And I used the example of, I had a mentor in the mortgage business, and this gentleman had more self-esteem and had more confidence in himself and his abilities than anybody I'd ever met. And it was exhilarating. It really was, because when you're around somebody who believes that they can do whatever they want to do, it's a bit of a rush. Mm-hmm. At first, it's a little bit like, are you for real? Right? I mean, some people would call him arrogant, cocky, but after you get around that authentic person that has high confidence and they don't mind being in front of people, they don't mind talking to people, it is really uplifting. And so to answer the question, I think to a certain degree, it does. Extroverts will have it just comes natural to talk to people and to be in a situation and meet new people as a general rule. But I also have met introverts that said, you know what? I am going to be a really good salesman and I'm going to learn how to do this. Mm-hmm. And despite their style, they took extra measures to educate themselves, to grow themselves and to stretch themselves, and did really well in sales.
I think it comes down to what you said. It's more of a desire to change, right? Because I will tell you, I am a born introvert. Like, I don't like going into large spaces with a lot of people. I could stay home and not go out.
And be content.
And be content.
Yeah.
But the careers that I've chosen throughout my life has put me in the position that I do need to have extrovert tendencies, which means I do have to work with the public. I have to do sales calls. Making sales calls is very uncomfortable for me, right? But it's something that has to be done. It's that there is fear and you have to do it or you're not going to be successful at whatever it is that you're going to do. I think when you talk about that person that's very overly confident, and that quote in the beginning is, says it, and I'll repeat it later, but arrogance and confidence are two different things.
Right.
Right. I mean, confidence, when I think of confidence, I think of confidence as where your self-esteem meets your competence, right? I mean, are you really, really good at what you do? And do you have enough self-esteem to be able to enter into that situation and be successful at it? I mean, anybody can be arrogant in any situation. But I think to be able to speak about something in a very intelligent, confident manner comes from what we talked about earlier, experience and then having the beliefs that you're able to do it. And I think those two things is what brings a confident professional into the marketplace.
Oh, well said. That's good. Yeah. Think that, in terms of your confidence in being able to do what you do, and whether that's at your job, your career, your business, in your sales, in your relationship, I think it really is, if you don't feel like you're good at it, or you feel like, I can't master this, understand something. Everybody struggles at different levels. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Nobody is excluded from that. And it's just sometimes a matter of understanding is you don't have to be perfect at your craft, right? You don't have to be perfect at it. I remember, you know, it's funny, you were talking about making sales calls is something that you just really don't like doing. And I think we all have those things in our life. I don't know that there's anybody that says, I love every aspect of my job and I wish this would never change and I could do everything all day long. And I mean, I don't think that's realistic. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too optimistic, right? But I think there's always something in every endeavor you take on that you're like, there's parts of it that you're like, I really like this. And there's other parts you're like, I could take or leave that, you know, and just remember something. Repetition. Do it over. Figure out ways that you can get better at it. Like Brad said, practice by yourself. Mm-hmm. Get in the car, go for a drive. You don't have to put yourself out there to dozens of people every time to practice.
I also have a process where that I use that puts me in uncomfortable situations. And what I do is I try to learn something new often. So I've taught myself how to fly fish. And I'll tell you, that's really uncomfortable whenever you think you're going to go out there and just toss that fly around and catch fish.
And right I've seen people, now I'm not a fly fisherman, but I've seen people do it. And I'm like, wow, there's an art to that.
There is an art. Yeah. I taught myself how to draw. I'm not very good at it, but when you look at it, you're like, well, stick figures are awesome.
Here's me. Yep. Here's you.
I taught myself how to do photography. And you know what? That's really a passion that I have. It brought me into being a Google photographer or a Google trusted photographer.
Yeah.
But I do that regularly. I keep a journal. I keep a visual journal where, you know, I draw little mind maps out in kind of how I will kind of want the world and how I see the world. But it's all about, I mean, just doing it. Just being okay with being uncomfortable, I think is the, and the more you get into that process of being okay with being uncomfortable, your confidence is going to boost in the things that you're really comfortable doing.
Brad, I love that. Being okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Man, we could shut the podcast off right now. That being okay with being uncomfortable. If you get nothing else, take that away. Mm. Being uncomfortable is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. I understand it's a feel, it's a feeling, and we react to how we feel, but being uncomfortable is okay.
And I think we talked about in a couple of other like two podcasts back about growth happens in those areas of discomfort.
Yes, absolutely. Well said.
Perfect. Well, I think we can shut it down right there. What do you think?
I'm good. go over that quote that you started with, and let's wrap it up. This is good stuff.
Perfect. So the quote from Stephen Pressfield: "The counterfeit innovator is wildly self-confident. The real one is scared to death."
Amen to that.
Absolutely. If we don't wake up scared. No, I'm joking. Well, I hope everybody listening has a great and inspired day. And Scott, we will see you next week.
Yes, you will. And remember, it is okay to be uncomfortable.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Choices and Outcome. If you enjoyed our presentation, check out our other podcasts and feel free to leave a comment or like our page on Facebook. Remember, life is filled with choices, and the outcome is how you calibrate where you are and determine where you want to be. On behalf of Brad McKinney and Scott Stewart, we will see you next time here on Choices and Outcome.